I'm getting started in on a lesson tonight, and there are actually paper notes in the pew in front of you if you want to follow along with me. If you want to answer and fill in the blanks, you're welcome to do that, and if you don't, you're not going to offend me. But for those of you that are tech savvy and you have a smartphone, if you say, I'd rather do this on my phone, well, guess what? We have a solution, which means that we now have a TPC app. And if you have downloaded that TPC app, all you have to do is go to your app on your phone, press sermon notes, and the notes for this whole lesson will come up on your smartphone. If you haven't downloaded the TPC app, all you have to do is just go to the app store and put in TPCDQ Church, and it should download for you. Everybody get that? Y'all are sure quiet tonight, aren't you? Mike, Morgan, I didn't see you walk in. Love you, praying for you, and I did not expect you to be here tonight, but I'm glad that you're here. Amen. I pray God's comfort and strength would be with you, and I know that it will. I want to talk about characteristics of a giant killer. And if you have a lesson and you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. Number one. Do you guys have lessons? No. Kaylee. Nikki will help you. If you don't want to follow, that's fine, but I wish that you would. And Nikki's going upstairs for you that are in the balcony. Pops and Granny, always good to see you. Glad that you're here. They come to try to spend some time with us, and that hadn't happened. I saw them Sunday night at church and tonight at church. It's just, I told Jen, and I said, look, when things settle down, I'm going to finish up my private pilot license, and things hadn't settled down. So I've just decided it's never going to settle down in De Quincy. This is a busy little town. So I'm going to just have to carve out some time to make it happen. Okay, here we go. Characteristics of a giant killer. I want to make some giant statements about giants. And number one is that every giant introduces a person to himself. Every giant introduces a person to himself. Here's what I've found out is that a crisis doesn't make us. It only reveals what we already are. I've had people say, you know what? I didn't mean to say that. And I've been there. I didn't mean to say that either. But let me tell you something. If you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, you know what's going to come out? That's right. Because whatever's inside is going to come out. And here's the statement that I want to make to you. If you're saying some things you shouldn't be saying, it's in there. And what revealed it to you is a giant that's coming along to show you yourself. Because the heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? But a giant will reveal that in your life. And one of the best things that can ever happen is for you to be tested, because you don't really know what you'll do until you're tested. You and I can say all day long, man, I would have never denied Jesus Christ. I would have never done what Peter done. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Until you walk in Peter's shoes, you don't know what you would have done. You don't know that, ladies and gentlemen. You hope that, but you don't know that. Because I'm going to tell you something. Most likely when the pressure's on, like it was Peter, we'd have done the exact same thing. Because you don't know who you really are until you're tested. You don't know who you really are until you face something that's bigger than you. So So one of the best things that can happen is for you to come up against the giant, because it shows you yourself. And when Peter came up against this giant, then the Bible says that after he denied the Lord, he went and wept bitterly because he realized, man, this is who I am. Are y'all cold? Okay. Can you cut at least just the fan on, please? Well, here's what I want to get to you, is that God has to allow testing to come into your life to make you more into his image. God is not concerned, ladies and gentlemen, about your comfort. You're going to be comforted for trillions of years. You're going to live in comfort for trillions of years. Right now, what God is concerned about is your character. And you don't really know who you are until you get a giant in your life. And your giant, I'm going to tell you something, your giant can be your wife. Because God will use her to reveal things about yourself that you never knew. Your giant can be your husband. Your giant can be your family. Oh, come on, I need some real people in this house tonight. Y'all quit acting like you're so saved and sanctified. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Nobody can push your buttons like your wife or your husband or your kids. Thank you. That's exactly right. And you know what we can do is we can, if we're not careful, we'll treat other people better than what we treat our own family. And that shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that way. Because your family is showing you what's on the inside of you. Say, I don't like that. Well, I don't either. I don't. But you know what? If I'm going to come into Christ's likeness, then God puts people into my path to show me what I'm really like. Because every man, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Every man is right in his own eyes. You think, you really do. You'd never verbalize this, but you think you're all that in a bag of chips. You do. You think you're really something. And you really are. But you know what? You're not like Christ. And Christ brings people into your life to show you yourself. So you're going to be introduced to a giant. Number two, people who reach giant positions have defeated giants. You remember that. You see some person and you think, man, I wish I could be where they are. Listen, you may want to retract that statement. Because you don't reach giant positions. And I'm not talking about a title. I'm talking about positions in Christ. You don't get there without facing some giants. You don't get there without spending some time on your knees. This fight is not a fight of flesh and blood. This fight is a spiritual fight. And there are going to be some times God's going to wake you up in the morning and say, I don't want you to pray for yourself. I want you to pray for TPC. I want you to pace this floor and I want you to pray for a family member. It's not time to pray for yourself. It's time to pray for somebody else. And you're not going to get into certain levels without certain fights. You just can't do it. You have to learn how to fight the enemy. You're not going to get anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me. I feel preach on me right now. You think this church is just going to fill up because, you know, we got a nice building? I'm going to tell you, thank God for a nice building, but it takes more than a nice building. It takes more than good music, and I thank God for good music. But you know what? It takes somebody who understands that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And it takes prayer. It takes missing some meals. It takes some dedication with people like yourself that will say, you know what, it's not all about me. It's not all about me. I want to see this community won. Somebody's going to have to fight that fight. Are you with me? Okay. So people who reach giant positions have defeated giants. There is no team or individual who's ever achieved greatness without somewhere facing and overcoming an obstacle. I want to just tell you again, sweet people, I cannot thank you enough for just being here. For these that have suffered loss. Chad told me last night, he said, Pastor, I couldn't have asked for anybody to do anything more for me than what TPC has done. Do you know how good that made me feel? And he's up there saying amen. You know, and I wasn't here. And when I found out, you know, I felt like a dog. But for not being here. But here's my point. God's never called me, y'all, to do this by myself. I cannot do this by myself. God hadn't called me to do this by myself. When you see somebody missing, give them a buzz. You say, well, I'm not the pastor, but you know what? You can care. And when you do that, when you call them or you text them, it shows you care. It's hard to scan 400 people and see who's missing. Now, I can do it sometimes. But you know, it's very easy to know when that person's not on your pew. Are you with me? I need your help. Now, here's a great statement. I love this statement. Are you ready? Our promised land is on the other side of giant land. Ooh, I like that. What does that mean? It means that when the Lord told Joshua and he told him, you're going to go into the promised land, keep reading. If you keep reading, you're going to find out that there were 31 kings in the promised land. What did that mean? That mean that they had to go in there and fight. They didn't just get to walk in and put their lazy boy chair out and say, man, we finally made it. Whoa, we're here. Mm-mm. I asked my daddy, I said, Daddy, tell me, you're 82. Do you ever quit fighting? And he says, son, as long as you're living, you're either going in a storm or you're coming out of a storm. And if it's real good, you know what? Things are seasonal. If it's real good, enjoy it. Just enjoy that great season. Because I'm going to tell you something. Just wait a little while, and the enemy's got your number. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. And so if you're saying, man, I can't wait till they get to the promised land because, whoo, I'm going to finally be able to rest. Listen, if you're coasting, you're going one way. Downhill. Brothers and sisters, I'm just encouraging you tonight. If you think that, man, when I get 50, I finally arrived, or when I get 65, I finally arrived, I don't want to bust your bubble, but I don't think that's the truth. I think your promised land is on the other side of giant land, and you better keep your spiritual sword sharpened. If you're going to attain the promises of God, you're going to do it with the fight. You're going to have to fight to keep a good marriage. You're going to have to fight to raise a good family. You're going to have to fight to keep your mind clean. Come on. It's a fight. Are you with me? Number three, giants are often tools by which God fashions us for bigger things. You say, I want bigger things. Well, here's a good cliche for you. New levels bring new devils. That's a good cliche. You say, woo, I'm going up to a higher level. Mm-mm. Okay, you know what you just told me? You got some new devils to face. Because you don't get new levels without new devils. Mm-hmm. So now, maybe there's some giants in your life that you need to look at. And here's some that you can think about. Some of you are facing a giant of procrastination. Mm-hmm. Some of you are facing a giant of time management. Some of you are facing a giant of fear. I don't know what those giants are in your life, but you need to list them. What are these giants that I'm facing? And then you need to ask yourself, God, how are we going to attack this? How am I going to defeat these giants in my life? You need to ask yourself that question. What is the giant that I'm facing? And then how am I going to defeat this giant? Now let's look at number one. Giant killers don't always start off as giant killers. I like that. You know what David started off as? He started off as a shepherd. He started off as a musician. He didn't start off as a giant killer. And if I had more youth in here, I would tell you, don't despise the day of small beginnings. You see me up here now, but let's rewind the tape. Let's go back 30 years. Let's go back even further than that. Let's go back about 35 years. You want to see me? I'll show you. Let me paint the picture. It's called a weed eater in my hand. And my daddy's saying, boy, get your Easter keister out there and mow this yard. Mow the churchyard. How much did he pay you? Zero. He said, you live under my roof. That's your pay. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you the truth. That's your pay. You live under my roof. And so I'd mow the churchyard and weed eat the churchyard and I'd clean the toilets. And I'm not making this up. I'm telling you the truth. I'd pick up trash. That's all part of it, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, Tracy does a wonderful job of keeping this church clean. It looks so nice and it smells so nice. But look, you know what? If you see some rappers, don't say that's Tracy's job. It's all of our job. This ain't Tracy's church. This is our church. This is our church. Make sure we all buy into it. If you see a bottle on the grass, you're not too good. Your little hands aren't so pampered. You can't pick it up. Well, that's the yard man's job. No, it's all of our job. If you see something wrong in our restrooms, you ought to straighten it up. If there's toilet paper hanging down, we got guests coming in here. We want everything to look nice for our guests. Are you with me? Don't despise the days of small beginnings. Don't say, hey, my hand don't fit that broom. Well, let me tell you something. If your hand don't fit that broom, then don't be jealous of those who are going on, because if you can't do the small things well, you're surely not going to do the big things well. Can I get a witness in this house? You can't manage, brothers and sisters, I just want to talk to you. If you can't write out a $10 tithing check, it's going to be hard for you to ever write out a $1,000 tithing check. And people come to me and say, oh, I win the lottery. I'm going to be sure to pay, you know, woo, my tithes. And I'm looking, do they pay their tithes on what they make now? Whew, I just threw that in free. I don't even know where that came from. Boy, Here we go. Number two, giant killers see the potential reward. The potential reward if they defeat the giant. The majority see the obstacles. The few see the objective. History records the successes of the latter, while oblivion is the reward of the former. Most people see the obstacles. And when our staff and when we meet, I've just told them, look, don't come to me and tell me about the problems without at least bringing me one solution. Seriously. I mean, because almost anybody can see the problem, but what's the solution to this problem? That makes sense? Okay, so giant killers see the reward. When David found out about Goliath, somebody came up to him and said this. They said, look, whoever kills this giant, some things are going to happen. Number one, he's going to be tax-free. His whole family's going to be tax-free. He's going to get a bag of money, and he's going to get to marry the king's daughter. And I bet David said, hold up, I'll be right back. Mm-hmm. Why? You know why? Because he was looking at the reward. He wasn't looking at the obstacle. Brothers and sisters, you got to keep your mind. You got to keep your mind focused upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Because if you don't keep your mind upon Jesus, listen, people will distract you. Giants will distract you. Christians can distract you. Let me just tell you something here. You know, there's a lot of people that are saved, and I believe they're going to heaven, but they're stuck. They're stuck in their old ways, and you're probably never going to get them out. You don't keep your eyes on them. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep looking unto Jesus. I'm not looking at people. All right, let's keep going on. I like this verse. This Oswald Sanders says, eyes that look are common. Eyes that see are rare. It's a great statement. What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by it. This is not in your notes, but the army saw Goliath and David saw God. Oh, that's good. And the army saw the problem, but David saw the potential. Just think, man, if God helps me to take this dude out, what's going to happen? God wants us to get our mind off of the obstacles, and he wants to get our minds off of the problem, and he wants us to see the potential. He wants us to look unto him, Jesus. Get your mind. When you magnify God, then you minimize your problems. And when you magnify your problems, you minimize God. Okay. Number three, giant killers don't listen to critics. They don't listen to doubting critics. You can easily determine the caliber of a person by the amount of opposition it takes to discourage him. Ooh, I like that. People are going to tell you, you can't do that. You can't do that. You got to decide who you're going to listen to. To handle the critics like David, we must do three things. We must get by the Eliads. They are over us emotionally. Check what he said in verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down here thither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. Well now, who do you think you are? Now, how does he know David's heart? He doesn't know David's heart. But here's what I think. It's just a personal opinion. I think that Eliab is still jealous because he was the eldest and he got overlooked when it was time to anoint a king. I think that's a pretty good answer right there. I think he was still upset because he got overlooked because apparently he was looked the best, was the strongest and the tallest, and man goes by what we see. And he's looking in the mirror and he's thinking, that's me, I should be king. And here David is, he's a little ruddy youth, and now he's being anointed. So now David shows up, and now you see Eliab's anger. Why did he have to be angry? Because I think it goes back when he was overlooked and wasn't anointed as king. So now, observations, letter A. Criticism hurts when it comes from someone over us. Criticism hurts when it questions our motives. Criticism hurts when it is continual. Criticism hurts when it comes from people who have known us for a long time. And everybody say amen. Amen. Number two, we must get by the Sauls that are over us positionally. That is good. There's a book written by Gene Edwards called The Tale of Three Kings. And it is a phenomenal book. The Tale of Three Kings. And here's just my personal opinion. I just personally believe that David was the man he was because he had to overcome Saul. Because not only did he face an elder brother and a giant, but most importantly, he faced a Saul. And I'm going to go back to some things I've already told you, but to me it's so good I want to tell you again. God had no problem. God had no problem when it come to a bear or a lion to come upon David and allow David to destroy them with his hands or with whatever he had to sling. He had no problem when it came to him taking Goliath's sword and chopping Goliath's head off. No problem with that. But he never allowed David to take his sword and take Saul out. Now here's what I want to tell you. When it comes to a brother, because Goliath wasn't a brother. Goliath was a Philistine, and the Bible said he was uncircumcised, which means he was not under the covenant. Okay? The circumcision, what the big deal is about circumcision is that those who were not circumcised were not under the covenant. And this is why David was flabbergasted. He's like, you guys mean that you're going to let Goliath taunt you and he's an uncircumcised? He's not even under the covenant and you are? Now, Saul was under the covenant. Saul was a brother, so God would never let him take a sword to his brother. How did he overcome? I'll tell you how. A lot of sleepless nights and a lot of prayer and a lot of tears. and a lot of singing. Because that's how you have to overcome a brother. Because God says, don't you put your hand on them. Don't you put your hand on them. You leave them alone. You overcome them through prayer. I had a young lady in my life. I'm telling you guys the truth. Had a young lady in my life. And brother, I had to overcome that sister. I wanted to run over her, not overcome her. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's what I wanted to do, was run over her until God, she died. Yeah, it was bad. But the Lord used that person to help me to grow. That's right. Because I'm going to tell you something. God will put people in your path to show you yourself and to help you to grow. And you would love to take them out because they're a thorn in your flesh. Oh, boy, I wish I had some honest people in here tonight. Come on. That is a God's truth. Thank you. And you have to learn how to get over. Some of you guys, I'm going to tell you, I salute you because you've had pastors that have hurt you. And I'm not necessarily saying anyone here, but some of you have come from other situations and you've been deeply hurt, but you left your hand off of that situation. That's the best thing you can do. It's not that a pastor's better than anybody else, because they're not, but I'm going to tell you something. God can use even a pastor in your life to help elevate you and to help show you yourself. And the best thing you can do is just say, God, whatever you got to do, work this out in me. Help me to grow. Help me to become like you. Are you with me now? And so we must get by the Sauls because they're over us positionally. And then number three, we must get by the Goliaths because they're over us ability-wise. And you're going to have to just learn to look at something that's bigger and badder and taller than you and just say, you know what? Hey, I got God on my side and I'm not going to be intimidated. I refuse to be intimidated. Number four, are you with me? Giant killers are not overwhelmed by the challenges. The Israelite army cowered in fear. They had legitimate reasons for their anxiety. Goliath was the most fierce and powerful opponent they had ever seen. But David wanted to know who this was that defied the armies of the living God. We're not going to be overcome by the challenges. Now, observations about being overwhelmed by giants. We become overwhelmed when our giants confront us. When our giants confront us, sometimes we're overwhelmed. B, when our giants have a reputation. Oh, brother, he's bad news. You ever had a giant that had a bad reputation? And somebody warned you about him before he ever come. Ooh, he's got a reputation. I'm going to tell you, if you get in a room alone with this person, they'll eat you up for dinner. And you know what? You know you've got a meeting with that person in 2 weeks, and all of a sudden, brother, you can't eat nothing. Because your stomach's all tore up because you heard about this reputation of this person. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? That's when you go into prayer and say, God, give me wisdom. Put the words in my mouth that I need to speak. Help me to be silent when I need to be silent. Help me to know what to say when I need to know what to say. But I'm not going to fear something for a full 2 weeks and worry about something and get all frustrated about something because somebody said he's bad news. Number three, when our giants continually show up, we seem to feel overwhelmed. When our giants keep defeating us mentally, you're not going to do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. Well, the devil is a liar. Just remember this. Normally, your giant is an announcement of a promotion. When David defeated Goliath, he got promoted. Who was it? When Mordecai and God defeated Haman, Mordecai got promoted. When Daniel went through the lion's den and came out alive, he got promoted. Here's what I want to tell somebody. The devil is just huffing and puffing and trying to blow your house down. Will you just stand up and realize, devil, all you're doing is you're about to give me a promotion. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to tuck my tail. I'm not going to fear who you are. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm not going to be afraid of this giant. Letter E. On the other side, our others on our side are afraid. It's like, hey, y'all want to go fight him? Boy, what the comfort in that, huh? Now, y'all look at me. Sometimes I say, y'all want to have revival? And I got two people going, yeah. I'm like, oh, thank the Lord. Y'all want revival? Well, we don't know. You're like, oh, God, help us. Number F, when we come together and we never deal with the giants. Oh, that's a big one. Some of you got a giant in your life called anger. It's called anger. And you're not taking the time to deal with it. And trust me, it don't go away just because you have another birthday. You're going to have to learn how to get still and let God begin to do some heart surgery on you. And show you some things about yourself. And speak some things. Why am I constantly fighting this giant of anger? Now let's go to number 5. Giant killers build on past success. I like this statement. We need success not to celebrate but to elevate. That's a great statement. Because here's what David did. He said, Saul, I want you to know that I killed a lion and I killed a bear. And you know what that did? It elevated David's confidence. If God can help me to do that, I just believe God can help me to kill this uncircumcised Philistine. And this is why you need small successes. Because it elevates your confidence. So David's confidence was based on letter A. Success in the past. He could look back in his past and say, you know what? God help me to win this battle. That's right. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, God did something for me when I went to Columbia, Maryland. Because I'd always walked on my dad's stage. And my dad had a stage. My dad had built a great church. And he was kind enough to let me walk on that stage. But something happened on the inside of me. When Janet and I went to Columbia, Maryland, and we were at Ground Zero and walked into a hotel room not knowing a soul in that community. And Janet took her keyboard and I took my Bible. And I'm not lying to you, I wouldn't do that. But on the third year on Easter Sunday morning, we had 91 people in church on that third Easter from nothing. Now, you may not think, oh, that's great, but go to the East Coast. And I'm going to tell you, the East Coast is a lot different than the South. And I'm not bragging on me. I promise to God I'm not doing that. But I'm going to tell you what it did for me. It gave something in me that says if God calls you, he's going to equip you. And he's going to be with you. And it just did something for me because it let me know, you know what? If God doesn't want to put me in an established church, then he can send me somewhere else. And if we've done it once, with God's help, we can do it again. And that's why you need those little successes in your life. Because you look back and you said, I remember when God brought me through that. And if God brought me through that, he's going to bring me through this. And I remember when God helped me to pay that bill. And if God helped me to pay that bill, he's going to help me to pay this bill. And I remember when God put groceries on my table. And if he did it then, he's going to do it now. And you reach back to those little successes and you remind yourself, God didn't fail me then. He's not going to fail me now. Come on, somebody, give God some praise in this house. Amen. Okay, so giant killers convince others. This is letter A is success in the past. And then David's confidence was based on B, God's protection. He knew that God was with him. He had no doubt. I know God's with me. My daddy used to say all the time, God's with me. God's with me. And he wasn't bragging. He would just say it. And I was like, well, how do you know God's with you? And tonight, I tell you, I've made mistakes. I've sinned. I've fallen short of the glory of God. We all have. But you know what? All that's behind us. That's under the blood. And God is with us. If God was waiting on perfection, who could he use but himself? He's never used a perfect man in his life. So quit trying to obtain perfection now. Become like Christ. Yes, yes. But understand, when you realize the grace of God, it's amazing. The grace of God is amazing. And you can look out and you can say, you know what? I know God's with me. I'm telling you, church, I have no doubt. I know God's with me. I know we're going to see some incredible things in this house. I'm not talking about 15 years from now. I'm talking about it's on us. God is with us. Yes, he is. Okay, here's a great statement that I like, and it's in your notes on page 5. People tend to become what they think about themselves. People tend to become what they think about themselves. If you think you can, guess what? You probably can. And if you think you can't, guess what? You probably can't. So here's something here for you. Self-confidence carries a conviction. It makes others believe in you. God confidence carries a conviction as well, and it makes others believe in God. Number 7. Giant killers don't try to be something they're not. Mike, I had somebody pass on a good compliment to you yesterday. I was talking to this individual and they said, you know what? Because I was telling them you need to pray for Mike and his family. His dad passed away. And here's what this individual said to me. They said, you know what I like about Mike? Mike knows his lane. He knows his lane. He don't try to be me because he can't be me. Just like I can't be Mike. Quit trying to be somebody else. Be the original that God made you to be. Be yourself. David wasn't trying to be Saul. He said, Saul, I can't wear your armor. I can't do that. I can't operate that way. That's yours. That's not mine. I haven't tried that out. I haven't tested that. I know this sling. I'm going to use it. Just be yourself. Don't be something you're not. Now go to page... On mine, it's page 6. Here's observations. During a crisis, people try to make you like them. Don't let people make you like them. You'll never defeat the giants in your life with fleshly weapons. Isn't that the truth? And then number 3, God only expects us to use what we have to defeat our giants. God only uses us. God only expects us to use what we have to defeat our giants. God did not look at Moses and say, Moses, where's your sling? He just said, Moses, what's in your hand? He said, it's a rod. He said, stretch it forth. God never looked at David and said, hey, where's your rod? He said, I'll use that sling. Isn't that good? Quit trying to use what's in somebody else's hand. God put something in yours. What's in your hand? God's going to use what's in your hand. You say, well, this don't look like much. Well, little is much when God is in it. What's in your hand, lad? I just got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's okay. I'll take that. Use what's in your hand. Look at your neighbor and tell them. Tell them 3 people, use what's in your hand. Quit griping about what you don't have. Tell them, quit griping about what you don't have. Quit griping about, I don't have. Well, are you using what you do have? All right. Number 8, giant killers face the challenge with a higher purpose. It's more than just seeing Goliath fall. There's a higher purpose than just seeing a man fall. I got a higher purpose. David saw this challenge as being more than just a battle with a 9-foot guy. He faced it with a higher purpose. You're coming against the house of God. You're coming against the people of God. And for that, I'm coming against you. Number 9, giant killers are eager to win. And then I like this statement, and we're wrapping it up. You can judge the size of a person by the size of the problem he or she is willing to face. Here's what I found out. There's not really big problems. There's really small people. And you can judge a person by the size of the problems he or she is willing to face. Number 10, and we'll close. Giant killers take those around them to a higher level. Now, I want you to look at verse 52 at the bottom of your notes. Check this out. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. Now, here's why that's key. Because these are the same men that were shaking in their boots and would not fight Goliath. Would not do it. But guess what? When you get a man up there like David and said, hey, I'll take this boy out. Now, guess what? You know what he did? He just lifted all of that whole army to a higher level. Because the very same guys that were just a few hours earlier doing this, now they were like, yeah! And the Bible says, and they run, read it, and they pursued him. And they ran after the enemy and they started slaughtering these same guys that were like, I'm scared, are now feeling like there's nothing too big they can't do. Why? Because David lifted them to a higher level. You know what you ought to do? You ought to make up in your mind tonight, I'm going to be a giant killer. And I'm not going to just do it for myself. I'm going to do it for those around me so that I can help lift others to a higher level. Would you stand? Yo, this lesson went by for me like 5 minutes, and I'm sure I talked for 45. I absolutely.